This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. You've made the commitment.
You caught the vision.
You want your family to serve God.
But sometimes it's hard to put feet on that vision. Hey, Hal, do visions have feet?
Shh. How do you get from principle to practice?
What do you need to know about the issues affecting your family?
How do you apply God's Word in the 21st century?
Let's talk about it.
This is Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young.
Well, hello, everybody. This is Hal.
And this is Melanie.
And we're coming to you live from Tallahatchie, Mississippi. We're out on the road. We're on the way back from Teach Them Diligently in Dallas, Texas. And we thought we'd try something a little different. And so we are actually here just off Interstate 20, coming to you live to talk about making biblical family life practical in the 21st century.
Tonight we're going to talk about Christianity, homeschooling, and patriotism. You know, it's funny because people seem to connect the two, God and country, Hal.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
What do you think about that?
Well, I tell you what, I'm former military, and I'm very glad to be born in America and have always enjoyed being an American. But I got to admit, sometimes I'm a little uncomfortable with how far we go in our churches or sometimes in trying to tie Christianity with, if you will, Americanism. And I think there is a line there, but at the same time, I don't think that we can totally discard or that we need to totally discard our connection with our earthly citizenship with our heavenly citizenship. What do you think?
I think you're right. You know, if we look at what the Word of God says, that's always, you know, the standard for Christians. What does the Word of God say? You pulled this out earlier and pointed out how Jeremiah 29:8 says that when the Israelites were sent into the Babylonian captivity, and I mean Babylon was an anti-God city.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they were told to seek the peace of the city where I've caused you to be carried away captive and pray to the Lord for it, for its peace. You will have peace.
You know, that's a very good principle because we all have an earthly residence. I mean, no matter how heavenly-minded we are, we live in a physical world, and the peace and stability of the country where God has placed us are really the peace and stability that our families enjoy.
But right. This is not really our native home.
Right.
Because our citizenship is in heaven.
Right. Yeah. There's a number of passages that talk about that. You know, I think about in the book of Hebrews, there are several passages which talk about, you know, our citizenship being in two places. I'm looking at I don't have that. Yes, I do have that. Hebrews 12. In chapter 12, verse 28, we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. The kingdom that we've got right now, the one we're living in, is going to be shaken. Sooner or later, it will be replaced. And yet, the kingdom that we are receiving is one that will last forever and ever and will be ruled over by the King of Kings.
You know, Philippians 3:20 says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ."
Mm-hmm.
And Ephesians 2:19 says, "Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." So it's clear that our native country, our fatherland, our homeland, our citizenship is in heaven. But the country we live in makes a big difference to how we're able to worship, how we're able to raise our children, the peace and the comfort we live in.
Well, I think there is a dual citizenship, just as we have a dual nature. We are both physical beings and spiritual beings. And while we are here in this physical body, our physical residence, our physical citizenship, if you will, are important. And you know what? I think the example of Paul is really important here because Paul was a free-born citizen of the Roman Empire. And he was a Jew. He was from Cilicia in the province of Tarsus. And yet there are several occasions in the book of Acts where the Apostle Paul cited his Roman citizenship. Now, you can read, I think, in Acts chapter 16. You can look in Acts chapter, I believe it's 21 and 22, and there's several places where he cited, basically, he claimed the rights of a citizen of Rome. You know, he criticized the town elders in Philippi because he and Silas had been beaten and thrown into prison without a trial. And he said, "You have beaten Romans who were uncondemned." you know, there's been no trial. We are not condemned to death. You had no right to beat a Roman citizen. And so you're not going to just let us go as if nothing happened. You come out and make a public display of releasing us and basically asking our forgiveness. When he was arrested in Jerusalem, he explained to the centurion that was basically taking care of it. He said, I am a free-born citizen. I was born to this citizenship, basically claiming their protection as a free man, and then also later claiming his right as a citizen to appeal his case all the way up to Caesar. And so I think Paul's example is that whatever rights we have, whatever privileges we enjoy as a citizen of a certain place, it's perfectly legitimate for us to cite these things and to claim them and to call them to our use, especially in the service of the kingdom, which Paul was doing. You agree with that?
I do. I agree with that completely. And one thing I want to think about, you know, we just came back from Boston, where we learned all about the Revolutionary War and how it started. And we went to Plymouth Rock. We talked about the Pilgrims with our children. And it's clear to me our country was founded on a Christian foundation. And we have the best system of government that there is on the earth right now, because we have been given an opportunity to have a voice in our government. We have liberties. We have freedom. And more than a voice in our government, you know, when our country came about, all the countries on earth practice what we call Rex Lex. The king was law, with the exception of Switzerland.
Right.
The king was law. And whatever that king decides, you got a bad king, you got bad law, you got bad government. You got a good king, you got good law, good government. Our founding fathers wisely turned that on its head, and they made our country Lex Rex, the law is king.
Mm-hmm.
That even the president, Congress, the Supreme Court, everyone is subject to the laws and the Constitution,
mm-hmm.
and that controls them and limits them. And that means that we have maintained our place as the freest nation on earth
mm-hmm.
for well over two centuries now. But we're going to lose it if we don't pass on those principles to our children and to our children's friends and to strangers.
You know, one thing that strikes me is that our form of government recognizes better than almost any other that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23 tells us that. We are all sinners. We are all prone to mistake. Sometimes we act selfishly. Sometimes we act deceitfully. And yet, in a system of government that doesn't rest so much power on one man's head, that doesn't give that burden for one man to carry and to wield, instead we have the competing interests of many admittedly flawed people. And the hope is that where I'm virtuous, if you will, my virtue may balance out your particular failings, and your virtuous areas may balance out my failings, in the hope that on the whole, if you will, on the average, we're going to have a more righteous, a more just, a more peaceful, and a more free type of government. You know, it's a self-government experiment which literally has shaken the world. And I think that, yes, what you said I think is a very disconcerting but a very true thing, that in our current situation, and, you know, it's not just this administration, but I think in this century, I think there's been a tendency to surrender more and more of our freedoms to the control of a few in hopes that we're trading that for some form of security.
You know, that's exactly why I saw a study where they asked college students, would you trade your freedom to decide where you're going to, what you're going to major in, where you're going to have a job, where you're going to live, if someone would pay your college tuition bills? And they said, sure. Give me that. I thought, what on earth? These kids have no idea what they're talking about. They're talking about giving up the right to order their life for a few dollars, or
wow.
even for a lot of dollars.
Wow, yeah. Well, so I think, you know, back to the original question, how much should we consider our citizenship on earth in relation to our citizenship in heaven? And I think, you know, as we reference that one in Jerusalem, excuse me, I'm getting some feedback here, sorry. You know, as Jeremiah said, no matter where we are, even if you don't approve of our government at the present or if you don't approve of policies, we can still pray for them. We can still be involved. We should still be seeking the peace of for our own family and for those around us. And I think that that is both a matter of good citizenship and of good morality as Christians. Okay? Now, where would you go with that?
Well, I think we need to talk about how can we pass on those visions of liberty, the principles our country was founded on, to our children and to people around us. You know, I think that a lot of us were just taught this so early we can't even remember when we heard the basic principles our country was founded on.
Right.
But many people today have no idea what those principles are. Mm. How can we teach them to our kids? Let's talk about the way we celebrate 4th of July in our house, the things that we've done.
Well, you know, we're homeschoolers, and we have followed a classical model. And one thing that should tell you, this is not about Latin, but it's about original documents. You go back to the sources. You go back and read things from the time frame. And so when we talk about Independence Day, we make a practice of reading the Declaration of Independence and talking about what drove those first patriots to make the break with the mother country.
And you know, you can get our Independence Day celebration guide online at raisingrealmen.com/4th, F-O-U-R-T-H.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
But, you know, we read the Declaration of Independence. We tell stories about the founding of our country and why it was founded. You know what? We call it a revolution. They called it a revolution even then. But really, what was involved is the founding fathers were upset because they were not being given the right that British citizens have been promised since the signing of the Magna Carta.
That is a key thing. So often, you know, we look at the end of things and say, well, that's the way it was at the beginning. And that's not it at all. You know, at the time of Lexington and Concord, at the time of the siege of Boston, the Battle of Bunker Hill, they were still thinking of themselves as British citizens. They were, you know, up to that point, they were subjects of the crown. They didn't think of themselves as a different species or something, but they were simply British citizens who understood their rights and were protesting to say, hey, our government has become destructive of the rights that we are guaranteed under our own nation's founding. You know, and so that they could look at that and say, you know, you're not giving us the right to a trial by a jury of our peers. You're not, you know, giving us the freedom to speak and the freedom to assemble and all these things which were guaranteed beforehand. And it's important to remember that the protests had been going on for probably 25 years.
Yeah.
You know.
They had been asking Parliament and King George to give them the right that they'd been promised under the law of England and Great Britain for all those years. And they really, the revolution was the last extreme. They had tried and tried, and they had abuses and usurpations, is what it says in the Declaration. And they said, finally, they said, okay, we're going to have to separate. Because we want to be ruled by law and not by man.
Mm-hmm. That is so true. And, you know, so many of our principles in our founding documents are basically the same as the principles of British common law and the Magna Carta and the founding of modern Great Britain, with a few additional things that were thrown in because of specific abuses. And all that makes for some fascinating reading. You had mentioned our independence study guide. Tell me what was in that.
You know what? You can find out. We link to some of those founding documents, to great music. We've got some great. We linked up great songs. We've got some great recipes.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a fantastic guide for celebrating the 4th of July. You can find that free. RaisingRealMen.com/4th. F-O-U-R-T-H. And I want to tell them it's time to take a station break, Hal.
Yep.
That we are about to start a new series of our two most popular boot camps.
Tell us all about that, dear.
Okay. Our boot camps are not where you send your child away for us to make them better. No. No. A boot camp for us means you, the parent, come. And you meet us online, live. And it's awesome. You get to see video of us. Most webinars don't have video. We do. You see video of us right there in our living room or wherever we happen to be. You see slides. And you get to chat and ask questions the whole time. It's interactive. It's great. Two of them coming up, boot camp 9 to 12, Right. It's for parents of 9 to 12-year-old boys, because, boy, is that a challenging age for parenting.
And we have another one called Boyhood Boot Camp for parents of younger boys who have already realized, wow, this little creature is more than I had planned on. I don't really understand what motivates this young male mind. And so you can join us there, and we'll talk about why did God make him this way, what is driving that little masculine person in your midst. I mean, it's fantastic stuff. It's very encouraging. You know, this is material, the kind of thing we've been sharing for years, and people come back and thank us for it.
You know, it's really what we wish we'd known when our children were that age. Now, we're going to start a new series of Boot Camp 9 to 12 on July 8th. And a new series, and you, to find that, go to raisingrealmen.com/bootcamp. And we're going to start a new boyhood boot camp on July 14th. And again, you go to raisingrealmen.com/boyhood. Now, go ahead and sign up so you can get set up for that. And don't worry if you've got a vacation planned or you think you're going to miss some sessions. It's all recorded. You can see it all, watch it, just like it happened there, even the chat.
Wonderful stuff. A lot of fun, too. We enjoy doing it, and you know what? You actually get to build a relationship with each other here. I mean,
it's so cool. You know what? When we go to a conference, always somebody will come up and say, I'm one of your Boyhood Boot Camp people, or I'm one of your Boot Camp 9 to 12 people. And as soon as they say the name, we can remember them and remember about their story. I just love it, Al.
That's a lot of fun. We love conferences. I think conferences are fantastic. I recommend everybody go to at least one. But at the same time, when you speak to a room full of people, you can only talk one-on-one with a handful. But when you've got a smaller group in this webinar series, you can ask individual questions and get your individual answers, and you can discuss it amongst yourselves. It's more almost a collaborative type of meeting. So if you haven't been before, we really recommend try it out. I think you'll really enjoy it. Well, what we are talking about, Christianity, patriotism, homeschooling, how do we prepare, how do we bundle all this stuff together for the July 4th weekend coming up? And I tell you what, you mentioned something here. We're talking about holiday weekend. We can't say this often enough. The concept of celebrating a holiday is a biblical concept. And the point of it is to teach and to remember. You know what? It's great fun to get out the grill and to cook a mess of hot dogs and to go water skiing or go out on the pool or whatever you do for the 4th of July. But you know what? The real purpose of this is to remember, to memorialize, to teach our young people, just like, you know what, read the institution of the Passover. You see, the whole thing is meant as a teaching service, not just a meal to remember, but a time to teach the young generation what God has done in the past. And give us hope to look forward to him in the future.
That's right. And, you know, this holiday is particularly well-suited to that because the stories are so incredible. We had so much fun in Boston last week. We climbed all over the USS Constitution. We talked about the Barbary Pirates and the Navy and how the Navy came about. We went to Old North Church and Lexington and Concord that shot heard around the world. The stories are heroic. They're going to be interesting to your children. And, you know, you got to share this stuff because passing these things on is critical to our grandchildren's freedom. In fact, you know what? I would like to see people that believe like we do going out and sharing some of those principles of liberty on their Facebook statuses and their Twitter feeds and blog posts, because there's a lot of people out there that really don't understand why it's important to have limited government, why it's important to have liberty.
That you are so right. And you know what? There's going to be a lot of people out there sharing that kind of stuff. We're going to be sharing some of it. I'm sure we always do. And keep your eyes open on that. You know, educate yourself if you need to. Remind yourself, or else go out and find out for the first time really what drove our founders. And, you know, one thing that did drive so many of our founders is a belief in the God who created us, put us here, and a belief in absolute moral principles and how those apply to our civic relationships. And I know there's a lot of naysayers out there that will say, well, they were mostly deists. They didn't really believe in Christ as divine. And
they ought to go read what they wrote, because I've read a lot of the primary source documents, mm-hmm. and I just don't want to hear that stuff unless they have read the primary source documents. But they've read the Federalist Papers. They've read the writings of John Adams. And, you know, I just don't want to hear it. It doesn't make any sense because it's not true.
Now, you know, the movie Amazing Grace has many, many really riveting scenes in it, but one of them is when the young William Wilberforce, who's a member of Parliament, is challenged by abolitionists, people who are opposing the spread or the continuance of slavery. They're challenged to say, take your faith and put it to work in the halls of government. We believe that you can do both. And I think that's such a critical principle. Now, that's in a different, you know, a different debate in a different country, and yet so much of what drove the founding and the institution of our country were men who looked about and said, let's put these principles into effect for the good of everybody. It's not just a matter of, you know, we're not trying to put together a theocracy, say that this is a land of freedom for people who believe in Protestant Christianity, but rather we are taking the principles of Scripture that should apply to all of us, that regardless of our faith, regardless of our national origin, regardless, you know, we're going to try to put these things into a system to protect everybody's liberty. And also it gives us as Christians the freedom to share the ultimate liberty in Jesus Christ. You know, that protection for our freedom of worship and our freedom of practice and our freedom to speak and to share that is so important. You know, one thing, I thought we were going to mention this, but I think I'll throw it in right now. I think it's very worthwhile to study the lives of good, honorable, godly men, the ones who were founders, the ones who were builders of this country. And that's one of the reasons that we offer the Hero Tales from American History series.
Did you know that on that 4th of July celebration guide, raisingrealmen.com/4th, written out in words, you can download free two different tracks from the Revolutionary War, mm-hmm. from our Hero Tales, and they're ones I particularly like, the Battle of Trenton and the Battle of Kings Mountain. You know, we actually climbed up on Kings Mountain and showed our children where our ancestors fought there.
That's true. We literally have ancestors in our family tree. We traced them down. We get to give you the names and found out where their companies, where their units of militia actually fought on that small battlefield. And that, man, that was moving to be able to walk through there, to climb up that mountain and say, can you imagine fighting your way up here? That was tremendously impacting to me. But you know what? That whole series is great because, you know, the people that wrote it, Theodore Roosevelt and Henry Cabot Lodge, they were both Harvard-trained historians in a day when Harvard stood for different principles than it seems to now.
That's right.
And they were both very proud of their country and very proud of the great men, because these were legitimately, you know, demonstrably great men that they talk about. Men like George Washington, like Daniel Boone, like Andrew Jackson, you know, and many, many others on there. And if you are interested in these are great dramatized audiobook readings. Each of the stories is about 8 or 10 minutes long. But there's 4 CDs full of them to get you from the colonial era up into the War Between the States. And they're just a tremendous resource. We want to encourage you to check those out at raisingrealmen.com/herotales. And like you said, if you download the Independence Day study guide, you will also get the right to download 2 of those sessions. The Battle of Trenton, by the way, if you don't remember your history, is the battle which followed the crossing of the Delaware. That was when Washington and his very skinny army came across on Christmas Eve and surprised the Hessian troops that were serving the British in New Jersey and had a running battle with them. It was one of the most audacious, one of the most brilliant turnaround battles in the early Revolution, and in fact may have saved the Revolution from total destruction. Okay, the fact that they were able to strike back and to make an impression, even in the dead of winter, encouraged the men and encouraged the recruiting and such that allowed them to go on and to rebuild the army in those critically dark days in 1776, 1777. So that's a great one to include in there. And like I said, Kings Mountain, again, that's another great turnaround in the war to liberate the South, which had been recaptured by the British. And so, great stuff. Well, we're big history buffs anyway, so we're kind of waxing eloquent here. Quick, let me ask you a couple things. We've got a lot of readers and a lot of listeners, I think, from other places, not enjoying the heritage of America that we do. What do you think about people in other countries? Where should we go with that?
Well, I think that they should look at what is worthy of celebration in their country, because you know, a lot of countries have had revolutions like ours, have come to freedom, look at what part of the culture is congruent with Christianity and is worthy of celebration with the heroes of that country, and teach your children about it, because their heritage is just as important as ours.
That's very good. We were talking with some friends recently who were acquaintances with some missionaries in the Netherlands, and they looked at the names of our young people. Several of our sons have names which are from American history as well as church history, and they said, "What, you don't have an Abraham Kuyper in there?" Well, you know what? He was one of the great, if you will, Christian politicians in the Netherlands back in the 1800s. A great man, but he's not part of our history, so he's not at the top of our list. And yet, he is a man worthy of study and celebration, especially if you were from those places. I think a key verse in here is in Acts chapter 10, when Peter was sent to Cornelius, the Gentile, when the gospel was opened up publicly to the Gentiles and said, this is not a Jewish thing. This is something of God. And Peter said, I now know that God is not a respecter of men, but he calls all men from all nations who will trust him, who will believe in him, who will serve him. They are accepted by him, and that's important to remember.
Absolutely, and there are heroes in every tribe and every nation, and there's godly heroes in every tribe and every nation, and we need to find those things for our children, because our boys will find heroes. They're going to find heroes. Our job is to make sure they find the right heroes, the heroes that will help them figure out, what does a man do? What does a manly virtue look like? How can a man be pleasing to God?
That's so good. Absolutely right. Well, you know, I guess I would say I don't think patriotism is out of place. I think chauvinism is out of place. You don't want to be so proud of your own country that you despise others, you know, and look down on what God has done in other kingdoms and other nations over history. You know, recognizing that he raises kingdoms and he lowers kingdoms, and, you know, our turn may come as well. And yet God has done wonderful things for us, and we've been blessed to be here as part of this nation. And so this weekend we are definitely going to be talking with our young people and remembering the great things God has done for us. Now, we are just finishing up with the Teach Them Diligently conference series. The one in Dallas was a great event. We had a terrific time there. Met some of our listeners and very pleased to make their acquaintance. But we're going to be going now to the greater Charlotte area.
That's right. We'll be at the HINS conference, mm-hmm. Not this coming weekend, but the next weekend.
That'll be June 11th and 12th.
July 11th and 12th. And you ought to know that because our anniversary is going to be right about then.
That is so right. July, thank you. I'm not looking at the calendar. I'm working from memory, and it's obviously a little tired.
Well, you know, we're going through some stress tonight. We ask you guys to pray for us. My grandmother, who is one of the most incredible human beings anybody has ever met, just incredibly loving, feisty, strong. She ran her own business till she was 90, folks. Lived by herself till she was 90. She is in desperate condition tonight. She's 93, and we just don't know if she's going to make it or not, and we're praying that either the Lord will restore her strength or that he'll take her home without suffering and unpleasant decisions and all that. Lord, would you join us in praying for our family tonight? We really appreciate it. And we really appreciate you and your faithful listening. And we love to meet you. We had a great time meeting podcast listeners this weekend.
That's right. So if you're in the Charlotte area, you can come to the HINS Book Fair. It's going to be at Christ Covenant Church in Matthews, North Carolina, which is right inside the Beltway. You can find it easily. And we will be there speaking, and we will be there exhibiting. And then later on this fall, we have some other events we'll be talking about then. But you can also check our website at raisingrealmen.com and find out exactly where it is we're speaking. Also,
don't forget to sign up for Boot Camp 9 to 12 or Boyhood Boot Camp. Boot Camp 9 to 12 is at raisingrealmen.com/bootcamp, and Boyhood Boot Camp is at raisingrealmen.com/boyhood. Please come join us. You're going to love it. We love doing that.
So thank you. We hope that you'll join us again next time when we're talking about making biblical family life practical. Until then, I'm Hal.
And I'm Melanie.
Thanks, and God bless you for listening.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HALANDMELANIE.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook/Hal and Melanie, or facebook.com/raisingrealmen. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.